In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I cannot stress enough that the Old Testament foreshadows Christ. It's easy to see in the prophecies, but it can be hard to see in the history. So some deny the history points to Jesus. Genesis 1, then, is nothing more than a historical account of how God created, so we know where we come from and God's love for us. That is true, but that is not the only thing that can be learned from creation history. Pointing to the Old Testament as a whole, Jesus said, "These are they that testify of me. The scripture is a history book, but that history reveals Jesus." So creation mirrors the recreation in Christ. With that in mind, we turn our attention to the fifth day. God grant us grace. The first 3 days, more or less, lay out the environment of creation. In days 4 through 6, God retraces his steps to fill up creation with life. So today we're back to water, back to the sky, back to the second day. Recall, nothing was good on that second day. There was little order and nothing was alive. God does not create to simply show off his power or for the sake of creating, but he creates so life might flourish, particularly so man might flourish. God is a God of order who gives life to the lifeless, and this is good. So today God spoke and filled the empty water with all kinds of sea creatures. Today God spoke and a vast variety of birds took flight. Each reproduces according to its kind. They may adapt to their changing environments, but they cannot evolve into different animals. Each reproduces according to its kind, for they are restricted according to the word of God. Evolution cannot exist or happen, because all creatures are restricted by the word of God. So life flourishes. Life flourishes in the sea and in the sky, and God sees that this is very good. The fish and the birds teach us many things. The psalmist says they look to the Lord for food, but fallen man denies his creator even exists. The sea creatures are satisfied with the Lord's gifts. Fallen man rarely is content, but contentment is often far from our hearts. The birds do not wake up and worry how the day will go, but they sing praises to their Maker. We, however, wake up and worry. How can we get everything done in this set amount of time? We do well to learn from them thankfulness, contentment, and trust in God for all things. But the fish also teach us of our sin. It's no coincidence that the Lord chose fishermen to be his disciples, not archers, not farmers, but fishermen. The sea is a place of darkness, unruly and chaotic. Man cannot control it. So the sea has become an image of evil. It's dark with sin, unruly, as each man does what is right in his own eyes. Man kills his brother for no other reason than anger. Each take care of their own interests to the detriment of others. Governments try to regulate this morality so as not to have confusion and chaos and a lack of civility. But they can only go so far. And oftentimes governments get it wrong. For the problem is not simply with governments or with society, but the problem is with man's fallen heart. The darkness and chaos resides deep down in there and expresses itself out in words and actions. So we must be pulled out of these chaotic depths. We must be free from following the rest of humanity. We have to be pulled out of darkness. There is no safety living in the world. But a fish never wants to be pulled out of water. It finds safety and peace there. No sinner wants to leave the safety of his community. He doesn't want to go against society. It's so much easier to go along with the flow than to swim against it. And so Christ commands his fishermen to go out into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Cast that net of the gospel into the dark depths of sin and unbelief and pull in whatever you can. Preach and baptize so disorder might be ordered and consciences might be restricted by the net of forgiveness, by the word of God, by grace. The gospel reading is the second great catch of fish and occurs after the resurrection. Notice a few things. The fish are never pulled into the boat, but are dragged behind the boat. The net never breaks. The net is the gospel. The fishermen are Christ's ministers. The boat is the church. That gospel will never fail you. That gospel has set you free and has restricted you, so you do not live according to the world and going the way the world wants you, but you live solely according to the word of God, are restricted by that word. And yet for the time being, you are still in the world. You are being dragged behind by the word of God, by that gospel, but you are still in the world. Though you are in the world, you are not of the world. For you are people of God, saved by the blood of Christ. You are in the net of the gospel, even though you still have to deal with the world and many of the effects that go on in this world. But Christ's fishermen are gently guiding you to heaven's shores. Notice there's an exact number, for not one of the elect will be lost. Notice also that no bad fish are found, but only good, large fish, for only believers will enter heaven. So when we are in that net, when we are bound by the gospel, when we are surrounded by forgiveness, then we are truly free, and then our life flourishes. So freedom is not being out in the ocean doing whatever we want. Freedom is being restricted by the gospel of Christ. When we think of freedom, we do not often think of fish, but birds. No obstructions, no adversities, no restrictions. We want to be free like a bird, not a fish. We want to soar high above and never grow tired. We want to escape the snares and hardships and difficulties and pain, the things that drag us down and burden our hearts. We want to escape them. So Christ has set you free. Sin ties you down. Sin drags you down to the dust of earth, but Christ has willingly taken away and borne your sin. Nothing can snare you, for it all locked onto Christ. Satan thought he got him. He thought he was the victor. He thought death would hold Christ captive forever, but Christ burst the chains of sin and shattered death's cold grip so that you might soar on wings of eagle. Freedom. Freedom in Christ, freedom through Christ, freedom not to do whatever you want, but freedom to live in the gospel. Sin pulls you back down, but Christ's gospel is as wide and expansive as the sky itself. You are free. So when it looks like there's no way out, when devils close in on every side, when your lives crumble and the world overwhelms, when you feel hopeless and stuck and restricted, when worry, fear, sadness grip you, God forgives you. And you soar high above every problem and every devil. For through his gospel, he renews your strength like that of eagles. Never will you grow tired. Never will you grow weary. Nothing can hold you back. Nothing can tie you down. For Christ's forgiveness has set you free. And if the Son sets you free, then indeed you are free. And that is what it means to be dragged behind the boat in the net of the gospel. To our earthly eyes, it looks restrictive and cruel, but to the eyes of faith, that net is as wide and expansive as the sky above. It's freedom. Not to live however you want, but to live in forgiveness. You are safeguarded by the net. You are protected by the word of God. You live in the sphere of the gospel. And though you now live in the world, you are not of the world. You are children of heaven. So soon you shall reach the shores of heaven. Soon heaven's gates will be opened, and you will be caught up together with all believers to meet the Lord in the air. God created fish and birds together to teach you that by his gospel he has set you free from the darkness and chaos of sin and death. Though free from the world, you still live in this world. But nevertheless, you are free. You are not tied to this world. You are free. For Christ has set you free by his gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.